The Electric Light Orchestra and All Over the World, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers from Hypnotic Eye and All You Can Carry to start the hour. 8:15, the full English breakfast show. The gift that keeps on giving from the local group of newspapers today. Some of Britain's biggest banks have begun contacting customers in European Union countries, warning them their accounts will be closed down within weeks because the cost and complexity of operating without a continuation of pan-European banking rules is too much for them to handle.
Oh dear.
Bang goes my little float in the UK.
That is.
According to reports in the London Times, thousands of Britons who live in Europe face being stripped of their UK bank accounts and credit cards because of the UK government's failure to agree rules for operating after Brexit. Each of the EU's 27 member states has different rules for cross-border bank accounts, which will start to apply immediately after the UK's transition period ends on the 31st of December. One British bank told the newspaper, in some cases, continuing to serve customers would be incredibly complex, extremely expensive and very time-consuming, and simply would not make economic sense. This is passporting. That is the reality of Brexit. If a way is not found to continue pan-European banking rules, and doesn't look like there will be at the moment, or passporting, UK banks will be breaking the law if they don't apply for new banking licences in each European Union country. And Lloyds, Britain's biggest banking group, began writing to customers in August, warning them their bank accounts would close down on December the 31st. And the bank estimates that 13,000 customers, including those based in Holland, Slovakia, Germany, Ireland, Italy and Portugal, would lose their accounts. Doesn't say anything about France, but don't hold your breath. If customers have regular deposits into or payments out of their accounts, they will need to make other arrangements before their account is closed, said the bank. Now, Barclays and Coutts have already started contacting customers. In light of the UK leaving the EU at the end of 2020, we continue to review the services we offer to customers with the European Economic Area, and any impacted customers will be contacted directly, said Barclays in a statement. The timings for account closure will depend on the type of product that a customer holds, but we will always give notice to customers. In the event that no alternative to the European Economic Area passporting regime for financial services is agreed between the UK and the EU, we've taken the difficult decision to withdraw from offering our services to clients who reside in the EEA. Back to traveller's checks then. No? Thanks for your support.
I haven't got a bank account in the UK.
Lucky you.
I haven't got any money.
Neither will the rest of us soon by the looks of it. First pop quiz of the week.
Certainly is. You'll get this, I think. I think you'll do well on today's quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Question number one. It's this English singer-songwriter's birthday today. His group's first single was released in 1994, and their album in the same year became the fastest-selling UK debut album ever. He was voted the greatest frontman of all time in a 2000...
Liam Gallagher.
Yes. Happy birthday,
Liam. About that.
Question number two. On this day in 1981, Adam the Ants were at number one with which single in the UK?
AC1. Stand and Deliver. Goody Two Shoes.
Prince.
Charming.
Yeah.
You don't drink, you don't smoke.
What do you do? Finally, the following lyrics are from which song? I would have given you all of my heart, but there's someone who's torn it apart and she's taken just all that I had. But if you want...
P.P. Arnold, First Cuss is the Deepest.
Yeah, but I was thinking of Rod Stewart's version.
Oh, really?
Do you know what his first job was?
Cleaning the bogs at Streatham Railway Station.
He was a gravedigger.
Was he?
There you go. But you can play whichever version you want. I do like Rod's version.
Can't seem to find it.
It's in there.
Oh, it's just one of those annoying titles, though, isn't it?
Put Rod.
No, it's not in there. It's been... No.
No.
It's going to have to be P.P. Arnold, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, what happened to Rod? It must be in there. I'd be very disappointed.
No, it's one of those ones that's got a question mark by the side of it.
Oh, right, OK.
Which means there's not there anymore, but this one is. New Sports and Weather's coming up.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
I played that lovely P.P. Arnold record earlier, The First Cut is the Deepest.
And what is that in referring to me for?
Your mate Phil.
Well, I think he was a little bit disappointing, Phil. There's no doubt about that.
A little bit disappointing, missed the cut.
Well, your Adam Scott didn't do much better, did he?
I didn't say, frankly. I said it was just...
You were promoting him as having the best swing in world golf.
Murray said he's got the best swing going in golf.
Rubbish.
But a swing does not a tournament make.
No, it does not. And, you know, Bryson has been listening to my strategy, put on a bit of weight, muscle up.
Drink loads of protein shakes on the way around.
I mean, he looks like a beast, doesn't he? He looks like an absolute beast, and he smashed it off the tee each and every opportunity. And when someone takes a different approach, you've got to take it a little bit seriously, actually, and certainly separate him from the field. Listen, I thought it was wonderful. For the record, best swing in golf, Freddie Couples.
To be fair to Bryson DeChambeau, it's all very well having the power, but you've still got to put it in the hole, haven't you, at the end of the day?
Yeah, his putting was great, his temperament was fantastic, and I think a lot of people like him. I think he'll be seen as a worthy winner.
Okay, right, so on to the markets. Kind of mixed bag last, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, mixed messages coming through from the OECD, the Federal Reserve, that dour tone, of course, from the Bank of England as they start to consider negative interest rates, along with concerns over valuations and regulatory pressure in the tech sector. And we should remember, of course, the rapid increase in COVID cases certainly keeping investors on edge. It wasn't all negative last week. Lots of talk around mergers, improving Chinese retail sales figures that we saw, and positive comments around the development of a vaccine helping to partly offset some of that negative sentiment. Equity performance last week. Weakness in technology shares pushed US stocks to a six-week low. S&P 500 was only down 0.6%. It has to be said over the course of the trading week. Weakness in travel-related stocks, along with the banks and car makers, holding back the stock 600 in Europe. It was up just 0.2%. Rising infection rates is really starting to have an impact, I think, on the recovery. Global COVID-19 infections passed the 30 million mark at the end of last week. Deaths now stand at 950,000. US, India and Brazil reporting the highest number of cases. The World Health Organization warned that the virus is spreading at an alarming rate in Europe, resulting, of course, in further restrictions. So the key to future growth prospects continues to be a globally approved, manufactured and distributed vaccine. Last week, Pfizer CEO said it's likely the US will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year end. So that's a really positive statement by an influential industry leader, perhaps carrying more weight than the exaggerated, often contradictory claims made by politicians. We should acknowledge scientists are making progress at an unprecedented pace. Credible updates, I think, will continue to be a key driver of market sentiment. Though something I was looking at over the course of the weekend, which is vaccine hesitancy. I don't know if you've looked at this, but the World Health Organization lists it in the top 10 of health threats, and that may infringe upon the progress to control the disease in the future.
Come on, you weren't looking at anything except the golf, were you, over the weekend?
A little bit of a mixture. The golf doesn't come on till late, so I was looking at this. And there's some interesting charts, actually, on the World Health Organization's website that talks about the process around vaccine hesitancy and what an impact it has in terms of being a threat coming through. So it's well worth looking at. So even if we do get this vaccine, how many people takes it, of course, will be incredibly important. This will be a new vaccine. You hear the whole campaigns around, you know, people who are against the vaccine already. So it's I think that will be an interesting development.
I think you have to distinguish between anti-vaxxers and people who just be a bit reluctant to take the first vaccine that comes along.
True. But, you know, you add them together and it's a whole lot of people potentially not taking it if and when it's available. What would that mean for governments? I guess it will encourage them to make sure that the campaign is strong enough to get as many people as possible to take it. And perhaps even, I mean, you can't force people, I wouldn't imagine, to take it in most places. But you can make life pretty difficult for them if they decide not to.
Unless they make it compulsory.
Well, compulsory is a difficult term, it has to be said, but maybe if you have to travel or maybe you have to go to work or you can't do certain things unless you've been vaccinated, then that may encourage more people.
And it looks like, well, I'm, you know, reading between the lines, that you might be heading for another two-week lockdown at some point in the near future.
It feels tough in the UK, there's no doubt about that. The headlines and numbers have been going certainly in the wrong direction. There's a big press conference later today by the chief scientific officer, the chief health officer, who we've become, of course, very well acquainted with over the course of the past few months, talking about what concerns there are around the numbers. We have seen regional lockdowns coming into place. We've seen curfews coming into place. Lots of pictures coming out of Newcastle over the course of the weekend as the 10 p.m. curfew came into place that hit somewhat of the vibrant nightlife up there. But actually, given where we are, perhaps it would become no surprise if we were to go into a accelerated lockdown, but probably for a much shorter period than we've been seeing in the past.
We say that things are tough in the UK. Sarah, how many cases of coronavirus did we have in France yesterday?
10,500.
And I think you had nearly 4,000 yesterday in the UK, didn't you?
Yeah, but I don't think you can compare those numbers, to be honest with you. A lot of that comes down to where they are in terms of the testing process and how that's taking place. So, you know, and also the COVID deaths are all compiled in a different way from country to country. For example, in the UK, if you caught COVID in March, recovered from it, and were hit by a bus in September and killed, that would still count as a COVID death. So that, I don't know if you can compare the numbers from one place to another. The other concern is, of course, around testing in the UK, which maybe I don't know what the situation in France is, but the reality is it's almost impossible to get a test on the public health service at the moment. I can tell you this from my own experience. Henry had a cough last week on Tuesday, so the school sent him home and said self-isolate for 14 days or certainly don't come back to school or get a test. But to get a test was nigh on impossible. Fortunately, we managed to get one eventually. But he basically was off for 3 days. So if it's hard to get a test, number one. And number two, if you set the bar of every child having a cough in the UK gets sent home at this time of year, that's going to cause amazing pressure on the system that simply can't handle it.
Well, you know what you should do?
Go on.
Stop buying him cigars.
Stop. You always, you know, even when I try to make serious points, you have to bring it down, don't you, every time? He's not a Monte Cristo fan.
In fairness to the UK government, France has had a lot of problems with testing. People are wasting a long time to get their tests done, and they're not always accurate as well. So it doesn't appear to be a UK-specific problem there. But the French government does appear to be determined to avoid another national lockdown at all costs.
Well, we've seen the impact it has in terms of the economy. We've seen the impact it has in terms of mental health. And there's some feeling, I think, the public were got through the first lockdown. It was a novelty. Some people, you know, were happy to stay at home at least for a short time. It feels like that's not going to be the case the second time around. And convincing people that it's a price worth paying, I think, will be much, much harder second time around.
From Russia with love, TikTok.
Yes, Donald Trump has agreed Oracle's bids for the American operations of TikTok, allowing the popular video sharing app to escape a US ban imposed as part of the president's pressure campaign on China. On concerns, this is regarding data privacy that the US said creates a national security risk. New company will be called TikTok Global. Agreed to funnel $5 billion in new tax dollars to the United States to set up a new education fund, satisfying President's demand that the government secures payment from the deal. Oracle will take 12.5% stake in the new group, will hand the cloud computing element to it. Walmart 7.5% of the entity. They will handle things like payments. Shortly after the president signaled approval, the Commerce Department delayed by a week a ban that would have forced the likes of Apple and Google to pull the app from its stores. So hopefully coming to a conclusion, that story.
Yeah, but hang on. ByteDance is saying this morning that it will still own 80% of TikTok Global, which is what the new US firm will be called.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, all of that, isn't it? I think the plan is that they'll take these stakes initially, then part of the company will be floated. And that will get to the point where US investors have around 40% of the global TikTok business, satisfying the rule that it will be certainly a significant element will be owned by US investors. And that's where some of the concerns have come through. And the fact that you've got other companies taking on some of these important components, the likes of Oracle, for example, around some of those data issues, perhaps reduces some of the risks. So it's not simply about who owns it, but it's who's handling and controlling a lot of the data.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 129.5 this morning. Euro dollar 118. You're going to get €1.09 for your British pound.
Busy day for you today, then.
It's a really busy day. How do you know that?
Well, I just know. Just reading between the lines. But you wish it was Friday again, don't you?
Oh, I'd love it to be Friday.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a nice day.
Hang pots and Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
Two people have been rescued by firefighters after heavy rainfall hit the region on Sunday afternoon. Emergency services intervened after the couple found themselves trapped in their vehicle as rainwater flooded the mini tunnel leading to the port of Saint-Laurent. Access was closed to the tunnel on Sunday afternoon due to flooding. Meanwhile, emergency services in the Var carried out 30 interventions at the weekend due to the bad weather. In Toulon, two people were injured after a tree fell on the terrace of a beach restaurant. In other news, a 58-year-old woman has been found by mountain rescue services after disappearing for several hours on Sunday. Rescue services in the Alpes de Haute-Provence were alerted on Sunday afternoon. The woman, who had suffered serious leg injuries while hiking in the region, was airlifted to the local hospital. The prefect of the Alpes-Maritimes has announced new measures to combat the spread of COVID-19 in Nice. In a joint press conference with the mayor of Nice, Mayor Christian Estrosi, Bernard Gonzaldas said that a range of measures would be introduced in Nice, including a ban on gatherings of more than 10 people in parks, gardens and beaches. Major events in the city will be limited to a maximum of 1,000 people. Drinking establishments must be closed between 12:30 and 6 a.m. and the sale of takeaway alcohol is prohibited after 8 p.m, as is drinking in public spaces. No music will be allowed on public highways to discourage people from gathering. It's been announced that this year's Montsartu Book Festival has been cancelled. Previously, it had been thought that the event may go ahead because the number of attendees was being reduced and the festival is held outdoors in the streets of the village. However, organisers said that the festival had been cancelled in the light of the prefect's statements. The next edition is now scheduled to take place in October 2021. Three new cases of dengue fever have been confirmed in Nice, bringing the total number of people affected to 5. All the cases are in one particular neighbourhood at the bottom of Avenue Pessicard. The disease is spread by the tiger mosquito. The regional health agency said the mosquito control operations are continuing in the neighbourhood and in other areas of Nice. In national news, according to Public Health France, more than 10,500 new cases of COVID-19 have been diagnosed in France in the past 24 hours, and 12 people have died, with the test positivity rate increasing slightly to 5.7% compared to 5.6% the day before. Sunday's figures saw the number of clusters currently under investigation in France stand at 1,045. 3,894 people have been hospitalised in France over the last 7 days, and 593 patients were admitted to intensive care in serious condition over the same period. In total, 31,585 people have died since the start of the epidemic, including 20,725 in hospitals, and 89 departments are now in a situation of moderate to high vulnerability. Finally, an online survey has shown that the popularity of French President Emmanuel Macron has increased slightly, up from 36% to 38%. Meanwhile, France's Prime Minister, Jean Castex, saw a drop from 48% to 45% in popularity.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cycling, Tadej Pogačar has become the second youngest Tour de France champion in history as he crossed the finish line in Paris on Sunday. The 21-year-old Slovenian beat fellow countryman Primoz Roglic with a stunning time trial victory on Saturday. Sam Bennett of Ireland won the sprinter's green jersey and won the final stage into Paris. Yeah, I really got into it this year.
It was good, yes.
Yeah. Because normally it's a bit of a sort of a runaway, isn't it? With either Chris Froome winning it or somebody else streaking out ahead and not letting go of the lead. But no, well done. It was really good this year. Golf, Bryson DeChambeau, the United States, has won the US Open at Winged Foot, New York, after powering to victory in the final round. The 27-year-old was the only player to break par at the notoriously difficult course, as he fired a final round of 67 to finish on 6-under. Matthew Wolff faded on the back nine to end second on level par with Louis Oosthuizen of South Africa in third on 2-over par. Football, let's get it over with. There were 4 games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The champions Liverpool continued their winning start of the new season as they defeated 10-man Chelsea 2-0. Both goals from Sadio Mane sealed the result on another nightmare day for the Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa. Chelsea boss Frank Lampard said that the match turned, with Andreas Christensen sending off following a VAR decision. The Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp was just delighted with his side's victory.
It's a tough game. It's always a tough game. It's with supporters, without supporters, a tough game. It was just the two teams who really wanted to play together, wanted to create, wanted to defend, wanted to make things happen. I like that a lot and respect that a lot. But top play, and Sadio used his speed, and it was good.
Liverpool are level on points with Everton, Arsenal, Crystal Palace and Leicester City, who were top on goal difference. Leicester made it 2 wins out of 2 with a 4-2 home success over Burnley. Well deserved, according to boss Brendan Rodgers.
Burnley are a very, very difficult team to play against. You know, they get the ball forward early, very dangerous in the box, and obviously they took the lead, so we had to show a good mentality. But now we kept attacking the game. You know, we were very good going forward, kept going right to the very end, and now very important 3 points.
The South Korean international Son Heung-min scored 4 times for Tottenham Hotspur, who beat Southampton 5-2 away.
Finishing is probably what I say is my main skill, and yeah, it was not even difficult finishing because Harry's passing was just incredible, and this is what I practice all the time, and this is what I like, and obviously I'm very, very pleased that I scored 4 goals in my first time in my life.
Neil Mopay scored twice inside the opening 7 minutes as Brighton got their first win of the Premier League campaign, a 3-0 success at Newcastle. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Leicester top of the league then, one of your tips.
I know, I told you. Watch out for Leicester and Wolves.
Yes, they're playing tonight. They're away, home to Manchester City Wolves, and Aston Villa play Sheffield United.
And
back to the drawing board. In the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Hibs and Rangers drew 2-2 and Motherwell were 3-0 winners at Aberdeen. And in the English Championship, Bristol City were 2-0 winners at Stoke. Finally, Rugby Union, there were 2 quarter-final ties in the European Champions Cup on Sunday. Toulouse beat Ulster 36-8 and Exeter beat Northampton 38-15.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,013 millibars over the region, moving east. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, thundery showers, force 2 to 4 southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, thundery showers, force 2 to 4. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Sunshine and thundery showers today with lights to moderate southerly winds. Temperatures 25 degrees, overnight lows 20 degrees on the coast, 17 degrees inland with thundery showers across the region. Looks like those thundery showers are going to be around for quite a few days. As sunshine and thundery showers, the outlook for the next couple of days, highs of 25 degrees. Don't forget your brolly.
No. Finally, Gucci is charging customers £600 for a pair of jeans. Wait for it. With grass stains on the knees.
What?
Yes, the distressed denims look like they've been played in at the local park and could do with a good wash. They have green stains on the knees and legs and faded brown splodges around the ankles and fly. And fashion victims can pair the grubby jeans with a £700 jumper that looks just like Grandad's moth-eaten gardening sweater.
Well, it's gone mad, isn't it? It's gone mad.
It's referred to as the Grunge Vibe Collection. I remember my brothers getting, Daniel shouted out if he came back from playing football with,
muddy knees.
With grass stains on the knee.
It all started going wrong when the holes started appearing in the jeans, didn't it?
Yeah. You're about Stonewash. Do you remember Stonewash?
Stonewash. That was very 1980s.
So 1980s.